Good morning again. The time is 10:41, and I would like to call us back from recess. Yes, please, Clerk, would you take roll call, please?
Congressman Bakehorse?
Here.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Present.
Congressman Hamilton?
Here.
Congressman Keene?
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Present.
Congressman Maker?
Here.
Congressman Potts? Second Speaker Redcorn?
Here.
Congresswoman Rivard?
Here.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Assistant Chief Walker?
Here.
Speaker Shaw?
Thank you, Clerk. We're going to move back up the agenda to reports of select committees. Congressman Keene? Oh, Congresswoman Whitehorn?
I don't know how this ask works, but I think there's something called Call of the Congress, and I believe Congressman Potts is here in the building, maybe next door. Usually when we have a sergeant at arms, we would send them out possibly to go gather up our Congress members. So can somebody advise me how Call of the Congress works?
And he was noticed about 10 minutes ago that we'd be going back in at 10:40.
Okay.
I'll get the assistant clerk to find him. Congressman Keene, go ahead.
Thank you. The Rules, Ethics, and Engrossment Committee met this morning. We reviewed ONCR 2518. It's a resolution to approve the fiscal year 2020 through 2025. Multi-year funding agreement, the MIFA, between the Osage Nation and the United States Department of Interior, and to approve and incorporate amendments 5 through 9 into the agreement, and to reject and exclude amendment 10 from the agreement. The final committee action was due passes properly engrossed with 3 yes votes from Bakehorse, Redcorn, and Keene. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Keene. Next item on the agenda is bills and resolutions on third reading. ONCR 2518, a resolution to approve the fiscal year FY 2020 through 2025 multi-year funding agreement, MIFA, between the Osage Nation and the United States Department of Interior, and to improve and incorporate amendments 5 through 9 into the agreement, and to reject and exclude amendment 10 from the agreement. The sponsor is Congresswoman Whitehorn. How do you wish to proceed?
I'll close.
Thank you. Is there anyone who would like to speak for or against? Congressman Keene?
I'm going to support this, but there's an alternate reality where we had various town halls. We had DOI people, executive, minerals council, Congress, attorneys. We had the shareholders, the public. We debated these big ideas and talked about this. We were handed a huge packet 2 days before we even heard this in committee. It would take you literally 2 days to go through and analyze things from the executive branch. A lot of our problems out here is a lack of communication. I'm not a shareholder. I'm glad we've had some Minerals Council members here. I told I'd like to have their attorney here as well. But, and I said, I went on the record, if the Minerals Council wanted to do this, I'd be for doing this. Well, they don't want to do it. So I can respect that. But again, I think it's something, you know, eventually, I think if we can all work together, I think we can lawfully do this if we want to do it. And I think, you know, maybe this will come up again, but I hope for that alternate reality that I just talked about, because like I said, there's just a big lack of communication, and, you know, we got to get through session. I understand that. I just don't feel like the feds are going, you know, we're going to stick with the feds. I respect that. That's fine. Do you feel optimistic about that approach? I don't. So, moving forward, again, this is more a call to other elected entities within the Osage Nation. Let's just have better communication with this. So I'm gonna support this bill. So, and hopefully we can address something similar in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Keene. Is there anyone else who would like to speak for or against the resolution?
Speaker, this is Alice. I would.
Okay. Congresswoman Goodfox and then Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you. So we spent the very first day at the government ops meeting talking about this for, I think, the whole meeting. And I understand that people are very, very divided on this. And I am a shareholder. And I've heard from shareholders, non-shareholders, possibly future shareholders. I've heard from the people that want to compact everything. And I've heard from the people that don't want to compact anything. And including some of the things that we've already gone down that road with, things like social services and real estate services. And this is not hard for me. Every single time we have an issue that touches on minerals and it impacts that Minerals Council, we ask how they feel and we ask for that resolution. And they sent a resolution saying they don't want to see this happen. And from my point of view, that's a nod to get more people engaged in the Minerals Council. And if there are 20 shareholders listening to me right now that want to see everything compacted, I say run for office on that Minerals Council. And if there are 20 that are listening, they feel the opposite, run for the Minerals Council, because that is where that platform should be. And we might see that Minerals Council have more candidates running for office next spring than ever before, just based off of this discussion. And at the very least, I've asked legal, while Minerals Council doesn't make any laws, they can provide a question when they're hearing from the shareholders, the people that elect that office, that entity, of getting a temperature check to see where their shareholders lie on this issue, what their opinions are. And it's a temperature check, but it is something. And right now, all we have is, people calling, texting, emailing, voicing their opinion. And I'm not real sure why it's down in our branch, but the Minerals Council post meeting. They post their meetings, they're recorded, they're live. And for the people that don't want to compact anything, I say go to those meetings and talk to those Minerals Council members. And for the people that want to see all of it compacted, go to those meetings up there and talk to your representative, because I really feel like that is where it should go. And I'm going to vote yes for this. And in the event that the Minerals, I'm just like Congressman Keene, in the event that the Minerals Council says, no, we're good, we've been elected by the shareholders and we want to compact all of it, every bit of it, I think that a lot of the votes down in our house would be vastly different, but that's not the case right now. And for what this is worth, these are my feelings on it. And thank you.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Good morning, Madam Speaker, members of Congress, attendance in the gallery. I really appreciate everything that's been spoken so far this morning. I had a good conversation with Congresswoman Whitehorn just a few moments ago. And based off of just what has been said by Congressman King and Congresswoman Goodfox, it solidifies how I feel concerning this resolution. There's a lot more discussion. There's a lot more understanding that we all need. Education, and knowledge. And I don't disagree that the Minerals Council has spoken, and I don't disregard, I'm not disregarding or disrespecting their resolution to not compact the BIA functions for the Minerals Council at this time. My decision to vote no today is basically, is solely based on the fact that I believe this needs more discussion, and I don't think that having the discussion here is wrong, because it might open up some ideas of ways that we can come to a middle ground. I'm not saying that in the end of this, that if we were to vote on this maybe on at the end of session, I feel like we're just being pushed. And I'm not saying that I would still vote yes or no. What I'm saying is that due diligence is part of what we're supposed to be doing here, and we still have time for that. And I'm not saying that we still would have come to common ground even then. And I don't know what my vote would be if we had had longer discussions with the hopes of having less emotion. But guys, that's going to be very difficult. We are emotional beings, and we carry generational trauma and toxic trauma. And it's hard to break free and to break that cycle. My encouragement at this point is that we could all come together, not just Congress, not just Minerals Council, and have the meetings, not necessarily just here, but also listening to the Minerals Council. But Congressman Keene and Congressman Potts has done this before. Town hall meetings are a great way to educate, a great way to get information out there. But either way you look at it, we all carry unconscious bias. And if you don't know what that is, that's okay. Go look it up. It's not a bad thing. It's what, how we're raised, one way how we're raised. And that's how we also understand sometimes the decisions that we make and sometimes the inability to see the other side. And a lot of times that's where I think we're at in a lot of the emotional decisions that we are making concerning or feeling concerning this topic. So I encourage everyone to educate, talk to both sides, and it's just, I mean, I'm emotional at this point standing up here right now, because I know that there are people that want us to move forward. I know there are people that don't want us to move forward. And I also know there's a group of people that are just like, well, I don't know. Is it good for us? Is it bad for us? There's just one thing that I need to say, and I'll be finished. Other thing I need to say is that the BIA has not been our friend. The U.S. government has not been our friend. And in working on myself and in working in groups of other people, a lot of times we stay with our abuser. Why? There's a lot of reasons. Trauma happens to be one of them. Fear, all those types of things. I believe the BIA is an abuser to us. And I know that there's fear, but we can overcome it if we find middle ground to have conversation based on facts. Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would wish to speak for or against this resolution?
Speaker, Mr. Maker.
Congressman Maker, and then Mr. Potts, did you raise your hand as well? Okay, so we'll have Congressman Maker and then Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Speaker. Okay, I am a shareholder, and my entire family has been shareholders as long as I can remember. My grandmother, grandfather. My grandpa Ross was on the Minerals Council back in the 60s. And I know a lot of the old shareholders and how they felt about the mineral state. And all I've heard all my life, even as a young kid, a young boy, was I've heard these older shareholders and leaders said, they always said, protect that mineral state with all your might. And I've always campaigned on that. I've been on this Congress four terms, And every time I've campaigned, it's always been to protect the mineral estate. I was asked one time, kind of cynically, protect from what? Protect it from what? I go, well, from anyone who would hurt it, harm it, or try to take our property. That's from who? Osage or non-Osage? Okay. So another thing I've heard all my life is that the only one on planet Earth who could take or change the mineral state was an act of the United States Congress in Washington, D.C. I've heard that all my life. I've not heard that discussion with this topic, this issue about compacting our minerals. But I have had many calls. I didn't count them. I didn't record them. But I've had a lot of these shareholders calling that, tell me they're against this. And they gave me their own reasons. And I'm a member of the Shareholders Association. All of them are against this. I've talked to all the mineral councilmen. I know all of them my whole life. Not one just told me they're for this. And by the constitution of our government, the Minerals Council is entrusted with the operation of our mineral state. So, and I've also heard some of the argument from people who are for it, but not very many. And they have their own reasons. And a lot of the people who are non-shareholders, they don't care. And I've heard them tell me, well, I'm never going to be a shareholder, so why should I care? Well, everyone's welcome to their own opinion. As long as you're an Osage tribal member, I will listen to all your calls. And whatever you have, I don't care what it is. But as for when you start interfering in our mineral state, which is one of our main arguments for sovereignty, I have to go with what my minerals council says. And as long as we have this mineral state intact, we are still considered the only reservation in Oklahoma, technically. So there's a lot of discussion, and there's been discussion. There's been meetings after meetings. You can go to the shareholders meeting, they're open to the public. The minerals council meetings are open to the public. So, and we've had town hall meetings. I've had town hall meetings myself. So, there's a lot to discuss here, but it's been discussed. And maybe it can come up later. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. But I can tell you what I've always been taught, what I've been told by all my people, is protect it with all your might. And that's what I intend to do. Thank you.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm kind of all over the board on this one, on how to speak, but my decision on this resolution is pretty well made up. And I respect a lot of what has been said by a lot of colleagues. I agree with Congressman Lemon that the BIA is an abuser. I don't disagree with that at all. I think it's a bad relationship. But if you don't stand up to the abuser, they go on to abuse somebody else. And I think if we just walk away and say, fine, we'll do it ourselves, the problem doesn't get fixed. The way you fix the abuser, you stand up and you hold them accountable. You say, you have a responsibility to me, and you're going to fulfill that responsibility. And I agree with the fact that we need better communication. And that's where I'm kind of shifting here. If you could see my notes, it's a flow chart that doesn't make sense to me. But when we stand here and talk about better communication, I agree. But that starts with us holding people accountable for better communication. colleagues, we're here today because this got to us in the dark of night. You've got members of our Minerals Council that had no idea what these binders full of plans contained. We say it got to us 2 days before. It takes us 2 days to get to it. Guess what? Some of them still haven't received it. And this is the plan to compact our minerals branch that they're going to execute, but they weren't involved in the plan. If you fail to plan, plan to fail on that one. So let's stand up here and say we're going to hold our people accountable, and that starts with the people at the top of the hill. Because there is a plan up there. I can guarantee it. It's well documented. But that plan's not been communicated. We're in lawsuits that we find out, this body finds out about in a newspaper that was announced in a different state. That's not how we should do business. And every one of us should halt business down here until we say that's going to change. If we're all elected to this government to run it, we're all going to have a seat at the table. And if there's not room, we need to build a bigger table. That's the response that needs to happen. That's when things start to change. Because I got news, and I agree with Congresswoman Goodfox. Run for office, folks. If you've got ideas to bring to the table, bring them. We always want to hear from you. Bring them. Run for office. But I got to tell you, too, holding people accountable means that if you run for office and that's your plan, I'm going to compact minerals, but you still fail to plan with the individuals who have to execute that, when it comes back down here next time, guess what? I'm still probably going to look at you and say, you didn't take the steps necessary to plan accordingly with all the parties that needed to be brought to the table. You got to build a bigger table. And I agree with, let's hold these town halls. Let's run for office. Let's listen to our people. Because I'll tell you, just holding a town hall to try to prove your point isn't the way to get it across the table. We've got to listen. And that's where I come back to my yes vote on this amendment. I will listen to that Minerals Council who has been elected to speak for the shareholders. Their resolution is crystal clear to me. They don't want it in any way, that resolution says. And we stand here and we say, let's talk about it. We have to listen about it too. Because they said a long time ago that they didn't want any part of it. But here we are with fully concocted plans. That comes from leaders who weren't listening. Because again, they said it a long time ago that they didn't want a part of it. But here we are debating a resolution to include it for funding. Did we listen? Or are we just pushing our agenda here? We've got to do a better job of communicating. We've got to do a better job of standing up and holding people accountable. We owe that to our people. I'm a yes vote for today's resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Potts. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak for or against the resolution? Seeing none, Congresswoman Whitehorn, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Second Speaker, and members of Congress, and those in the gallery that are sitting here with us, and those that are joining us by Zoom. I appreciate you. I appreciate all the words my colleagues have said, and I can agree with threads of everything that has been said here. And, you know, I'm like Congressman Potts. I can stand here and probably talk about this for 2 hours, but I don't have the time to do that today, and I won't. You know, there's a book I read that says, "Come, let us reason together." And from what I have here in my hands, I have two folders, big folders. And all of these were written by very intelligent people, but we haven't got to read through them. And we were handed them the day before session, well, the business day before session started, and then on the 10th of, of September, we were handed these plans from the executive branch of government here in Congress. And I don't believe that we were included in these. I know for sure the Minerals Council was not included in these plans. A letter was sent to them June 4th. It's in one of these folders that says, here's the plan and this is what you're going to do. That is not come, let us reason together. If we are going to say that this is going to increase our sovereignty, it may. But standing together as a sovereign, we haven't had those conversations. We aren't walking together as a sovereign nation to execute this plan. There are so many complications and intricacies in it. We have a whole group, a Minerals Council, that represents shareholders that are not the same constituency that elect us to our seats. That's one of the big things that divide this, that there's a completely different set of people that elect our Minerals Council because they are in charge constitutionally of administrating the minerals estate. So what we have before us is a resolution to approve the MIFA amendments. What Amendment 10 does is it incorporates some of the functions, the PSFAs, program functions, and I can't remember the other two, but it incorporates those program services, functions, and activities. It includes $1.3 million worth that particularly pertain to the minerals estate, which is held in trust for the benefit of the Osage Tribe of Indians. The Osage Tribe at the time was all shareholders. That's why we have a Minerals Council to represent our shareholders in our Constitution. So I believe the Minerals Council has spoken very clearly. We've passed laws. This congressional body has passed laws to say that if we want to compact, that we would have an affirmative, resolution that they are agreeable to do so. We do not have that in our possession. In fact, we have the complete opposite of that. And from what I can hear, we're trying to mince the legal words of compact or contract, compact or MIFA agreement. And when you take a service, one of these programs, services, functions, and activities, when you contract that is pulled under your compact agreement. So if we want to mince words about it, then we need to change our law and include MIFA in it, which I'm probably going to do this session. I'm probably going to file a bill that says MIFA as well. Because to me, the spirit of the law all means the same. What that law meant to say is if we're going to do this, if we're going to compact these services, we need to stand in agreement. We need to come together and reason and say, this is how we're going to move forward because this involves the shareholders who you represent. It involves the Minerals Council body, and the Congress has to pass a MIFA agreement. So it involves Congress. That hasn't happened. I just want to say that hasn't happened. So the reason that we're looking at this amendment is because it's law. The reason that number 10 is excluded, the amendment number 10 is excluded, is because we haven't discussed it in full. Do I believe that we can talk it in town hall meetings on the floor of Congress about it? Yes, I believe that we can do that. But mostly I believe it needs to be talked about on the floor of the Minerals Council chambers with all of us involved because it affects the minerals estate, period. We have been told by one member of
the Minerals Council, that they looked into what it would cost to fully fund this. That's another thing that's before us, because it comes to us because of the dollars that are involved. They're going to give us $1.3 million. This is the lowest that this agency has ever been funded for these functions. And we're stepping up and say, okay, yeah, we'll take it. It's broken, but we'll take it. That's not enough money to do what we need to do for our state and for our people, but we're going to take that. I disagree with that. I agree with Congressman Potts, and I have always said we need to hold the BIA accountable for their fiduciary trust responsibility, what they are supposed to do. And $1.3 million does not do that. So there's the aspect of funding as well. So we heard the Minerals Council members say quite possibly it would be $4 million to even at this level, at this low level of employment. We have a 1.5 million acre estate. That's not enough. So I know I'm all over the place on this, guys, trying to explain it to you. And I could talk and talk and talk about it. But for right now, we aren't prepared for this. This is not what the Minerals Council wants to do, period. I believe the shareholders that have reached out to me, I haven't had many that says, yes, this is what I want to do. I wish you would call me and tell me a different way, because I haven't heard from people that want to compact. So anyway, I am here to request that you vote yes for this amendment. I also want to urge you that once, if it does pass the floor of Congress and is sent to the chief's office for signature, those of you that are that have an opinion.
Congresswoman Whitehorn, you've reached your time.
Okay. Thank you. Reach out to the chief's office and let them know how you would like for him to react. Thank you.
The question is, shall ONCR 25-18 pass? Clerk, could you do a roll call vote, please?
Congressman Tillman? Yes. Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congressman Bickhorst?
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Keene?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
No.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Potts?
Yes.
Second Speaker Redcorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Rivard?
No.
The resolution passes and will advance to enrollment. The next item on the agenda is motions and notices. Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move to consideration of confirmation for executive appointee Kirk Shaw to the Gray Horse Village Board for a term of 3 years.
Second.
Thank you. There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
I don't know why I said that. I'm so sorry. Congressman Bickhorst?
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Keene?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes.
Congressman Potts?
Yes.
Second Speaker Redcorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Rivard?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Thank you. The Kirk Shaw was confirmed to the Gray Horse Village Board for a term of 3 years. Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you again, Madam Speaker. Move to consideration of confirmation for executive appointee James Norris to the Osage Veterans Memorial Commission for a term of 3 years.
Second.
Thank you. There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Congressman Bickhorst?
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Keene?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Potts?
Yes.
Second Speaker Redcorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Rivard?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Thank you. James Norris has been confirmed to the Osage Veterans Memorial Commission for a term of 3 years. Congressman Hamilton?
I move to place executive appointee Sandra Shangru on the next legislative agenda for consideration of confirmation.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? No. Thank you. Ms. Shangru will be on our next legislative day's agenda for confirmation. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Natural Resources will meet immediately following session. Will 11:30 give you enough time, Clerk? We'll try to convene at 11:30.
Congressman Big Horse.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Cultural Committee meeting will begin at 3 p.m. today.
Thank you. One second, Congresswoman Lemon. I want to make notice that our appointees, we've received packets for Scotty Ray Lawrence and for Joey Griggs, and both of those will be moved to the Commerce and Gaming Committee for consideration. Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Motion to adjourn until tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
Sorry. Thank you. There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? No. Thank you. We're adjourned until tomorrow.